This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, it's a whole food group, but there are so many opinions and information out there about dairy, it can be really hard to navigate and to know what's what. It's one that can also have many myths associated with it. So this week on Real Health, we're going to have a look at dairy. The good, the bad, and the plain not true. I'm joined by registered dietitian Sarah Keogh to chat all things dairy, and I'm really, really excited. Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're in our proper studio this time. You're in our makeshift studio the last time. How's life?
Good. Busy. Summer? Keep going. Yeah. Been away already, so now I'm into holidaying at home now for the next few weeks anyway.
Holidaying at home is good. This all came about. There was a podcast episode I listened to last week titled The Dairy Episode. Mm-hmm. And then that combined with me going to the supermarket and watching people put loads and loads of almond milk into their trolley. And I was like, right, we have to do an episode on this and find out more about it. Let's pull it right back to basics. What is dairy? Let's start there.
So as a food group, when we talk about dairy, what we are talking about is milk, cheese and yogurt. Now, if we talk about it from maybe a farming point of view, dairy would also include butter and cream, but we don't put them in the sort of health section. And traditionally would have included eggs. Lots of people would still talk about eggs as dairy. So I do get lots of people saying to me, oh, are eggs not a good source of calcium because they're dairy? So they've a little bit, but not really, no. So really, when we talk about dairy from, as I said, nutrition or food group point of view, it's milk, cheese and yogurt that we're talking about.
Okay. And it is important to state, I've worked with the National Dairy Council in the past. You have done some work with them as
well. I have done some work in the past too.
So they have no influence on this podcast. We are not paid by them for this podcast. We just happen to work with them in the past. But we have our own opinions outside of the work that we do with them on dairy. And we're going to chat about that today. Okay, so there's loads of myths and misconceptions around dairy, whether it's good, bad or indifferent. What are the common ones that you see?
Well, there's loads. I mean, the big one I hear an awful lot is people saying humans can't digest it. And so humans can. Where people get a little bit of confusion about that is the sugar in milk, which is called lactose. And it's a naturally occurring sugar. It's not one of those sugars we talk about having to limit or avoid because it's not added. But lactose in milk, most Europeans can digest lactose in milk. So about 90% of Europeans can digest lactose. But that means 10% of Europeans are lactose intolerant. However, when we get outside of Europe, that tends to get higher. We tend to see more people lactose intolerant. So say North Europeans would have the best tolerance for lactose. So we will have maybe 90% of us will tolerate lactose. By the time you get to Spain, 65% of people tolerate lactose. You'll have maybe 35% lactose intolerant. Other countries that can flip entirely. So 90% might be lactose intolerant and 10%.
And is there a reason?
It's genetic, really. So a lot of countries would consume dairy, but Europe is really more milk focused, which has the highest amount of lactose. So there's actually genetic changes in most Europeans that actually allow them to digest lactose as adults. We can all digest it as children. So that same genetic change, which is 5,000 or 6,000 years old, I think, but don't quote me on that, around for a long time anyway, and we do see it. So in other countries where they do consume dairy, but there's high rates of lactose intolerance, they tend to ferment it. And the fermentation, like yogurt, cheese, reduces the lactose. So someone who's lactose intolerant, milk is a disaster, but most of them can tolerate a little bit of yogurt and cheese is generally fine.
Okay. So. Weight gain and dairy.
Oh, well, that's, I was having a great conversation with someone earlier and they were saying yes, because, you know, in the 90s, if you wanted to lose weight, you had to cut out protein and dairy and everyone had to eat carbohydrate and vegetables. So we were just joking about those things, as I was saying, because that's holds true for a lot of people, this idea that dairy makes you put on weight. So we actually know from studies that people who consume milk and yogurt in particular tend not to have any, or cheese as well, any particular issues around weight. Butter and cream, not because they themselves are doing anything, they're just very high in calories because they're huge amounts of fat. And particularly if you like them and you put a lot of them on, they're going to add calories. But always with weight, weight is such a complex issue. It's total calories and then you're looking at all the other things with it. So if you're having like a bit of butter within what you're doing in the day, it's not going to put on any more weight than anything else that you're
eating. And I don't work for anything to do with butter, but there's no comparison between butter, as in like really good Irish butter.
I know.
And like the spreads, they're just... Yeah, no.
Unfortunately, from a health point of view, the spreads are better.
Okay.
Yeah, we do see less heart disease, unfortunately, okay, with it, because the problem with the butter and the cream, apart from tasting lovely, and I went mad last year and made my own butter one day.
Oh my gosh.
You really want it. It's actually easier than you think, but the flavour is amazing. Anyway, aside, I had a load of leftover cream. But anyway, but yeah, with the butter, unfortunately, the butter and the cream have the saturated fat, mm-hmm, which does raise cholesterol in most people. So we do, particularly from a sort of cholesterol heart disease point of view, we want that down. Whereas the spreads, if they're kind of olive oil based spread, sunflower oil and things like that. And people get nervous about trans fats, but they're pretty much gone out of those, you know.
Okay.
So they're fine, you know, but yeah, nothing beats actual nice tasty butter.
Okay, so if you're switching from a butter to a spread, that's the reason you would switch. It's
yes,
the cholesterol. If you have high yeah, cholesterol, yeah, you would switch over and yeah, go to kind of an olive oil based one.
One of those, yeah, kind of those kind of olive oil, sunflower oil based kind of spreads with it. But even with those, we don't want a huge amount of them. Still keeping the amount small.
Moderation,
mm,
very, as ever. It comes back time and time again. Skin and dairy.
So the big myth that I see with teenagers is, I'm now getting spots, it must be the dairy. Mm-hmm. And it pops up, and I actually see it on Instagram a good bit. People saying, oh, cut out the dairy. So unfortunately, there were two studies in the States years ago that's now, and I say this, suggested a possible tiny link between dairy and acne. But at the same time, no, nothing concrete, no mechanism for it. We don't see it. And, you know, I see obviously loads of teenagers who are taking dairy and don't get it. Now, when I was doing my own clinics, I would have seen loads of teenagers come. Now, I wouldn't say they came in themselves. Their mother usually dragged them, God love them, to come in and see the dietitian about their skin. And what was just quite funny is I'd spend 10 minutes talking about a good skincare routine, because the vast majority of the kids that I would have seen, the teenagers, just didn't know how to actually clean their skin properly, mm-hmm, or to use the right products. So I had a good chat with a couple of skincare people, and I said, look, if they just walk in my door, and they were like, this, this, and this, and I was like, grand. Certainly you can look at diet, but I've never had to take anyone off dairy to sort out skin for them. So good skincare is 90% of it, people. It is 90%. And then you would look at kind of getting a lot of moisture into the skin. Because if you get acne, what's happening is you're producing your oil, the natural oil. But for a lot of people who get really bad spots, their oil is quite waxy instead of runny, so it blocks the pores. So if you can drink a lot more water, it thins it down a bit, and you've got to really clean that off properly with good products. So that really makes a big difference.
You have a great way of making things very simple. Waxy and oily. I love it. Good. Nutritional value then of dairy. What has it got and what hasn't it got?
So, well, nothing is going to have everything,
yeah,
which is a pity. But the big, I suppose the big focus, and everybody knows, is calcium with dairy. And we need a lot of calcium. It's the mineral we need the most of. And, you know, I'll talk about 800 to 900 milligrams of calcium a day, which mightn't sound like a lot, but in nutrition terms, when you're talking like 0.1 micrograms of some other, it's a lot, and we need a lot of it. And, you know, the big question I get from people all the time is, can you get calcium without dairy? And yeah, you absolutely can. I, hand on heart, I've never met anyone who achieved it. And it's just, although it's myths to do with what other foods have calcium. So the big thing in the dairy is the calcium. Something like a calcium fortified soy milk, you know, if people are, you know, allergic to dairy, don't want to take it for whatever reason. You've got to be careful though with the calcium fortified plant-based milks. They do need to have calcium added, but you've got to shake them really well. Otherwise the calcium sits on the cardboard down the bottom. So give them a good shake. The big myth I see is around getting calcium from green vegetables. Loads of people talk to me about this one. So I really need to put this one to bed. Yes, there's calcium in green veg. It is incredibly difficult to eat the amounts you'd need. I'd have to eat 25 servings of broccoli a day. You would have to eat, and I am not joking, 120 bags of spinach a day. And the problem there is not just the amount of calcium in spinach, but spinach is full of oxalate, which mm-hmm. reduces calcium absorption. So I've had people say to me, well, I put 3 leaves of spinach in my sandwich, I'm covered. Or a lovely lady, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, at a talk recently, she said to me, well, I was told if I ate 7 almonds a day, it would cover my calcium. And there's actually a reasonable amount of calcium in almonds, but you are talking about, I think it's about 200 almonds a day. 7 almonds, not going to do it. And mm-hmm. she was shocked, because she thought, genuinely, because where do we get our nutrition information? From any random person we pass in the street.
Yeah.
So the other thing that dairy has, which is really quite important, is iodine. So in Ireland, a lot of countries, you're supposed to get iodine from the soil, comes up through the plants and into the animals. Ireland, we don't have a massive amount of iodine in the soil. So dairy is the big place where most of us, almost all of us, get our iodine. And it is actually what we call a nutrient of concern at the moment, because in Ireland, we just about hit the level of iodine that we need, which is about 150 micrograms a day. And that's fine for most of us. But when someone becomes pregnant, they now need 200 micrograms a day, which means a lot of people are 50 micrograms short. But recent research, and I know Safe Food looked at this, where people swap on to the plant-based milks or other things, the iodine just vanishes completely. Okay. It's really dropping down. So it's needed for brain development during pregnancy. We also need iodine for a healthy thyroid. So
and
it's important.
Do we get it through fish?
So we will. If we don't, the other place to get is white fish.
Oh, yeah.
So for once, oily fish isn't your brilliant place to go for iodine. You will also get it in seaweed, but it's not recommended to eat a huge amount of seaweed, especially early in pregnancy. It's actually not a good thing to do at all. So if you're someone who's early pregnancy and you're not taking dairy, ring up the hospital and ask to see the dietitian just to see around. Now, a lot of pregnancy supplements will have iodine in them these days, so you might be getting it there. But they're the places. So the thing is, though, lots of people don't eat fish. You know, only about 15% of people in Ireland regularly eat.
Is it that low?
It's very low, and it drops. You know, we see more actually age up to 1 year, and then after about age of 1 year, it just falls off a cliff. So we're not great fish eaters, and everybody's eating salmon. There's a bit of iodine in it, but white fish for your iodine. So again, you can get it. But I find lots of people who give up dairy have no idea that they need to find iodine.
Okay.
And then dairy is also a source of protein. So we talk about protein foods, usually the meat, fish, beans, you know, nuts, those kind of foods. But your dairy contributes a good chunk of your protein as well. So when people say cut out dairy, for example, that tends to take a dive. Now, if they go to soy milk, soy will have almost the same protein, but rice or oat milk is very low. So that's why we wouldn't really recommend them for children. Rice milk is definitely unsuitable for children. Arsenic levels. It's not huge, but we don't recommend it. But it's just to watch that, particularly, I don't know if you saw that there was guidelines issued for the over 65s there about 2 weeks ago, and they've recommended now, rather than the usual 3 a day for dairy for adults, they're pushing to 3 or 4 a day for the over 65s, mostly for protein as well as the calcium.
And the fortified milks, if you're sticking with dairy, we'll talk about the nut milks in a sec, but are they better than the standard, you know, you've milk, then you've got fortified milk. They're a lot more expensive for people.
They can do. I mean, where they're useful, if you look at some of the fortified milks, especially the ones with the added calcium. So where an adult would need maybe 3 glasses of ordinary milk a day to hit their calcium targets, you only need 2 glasses of the fortified.
Oh, yeah,
so if you're not actually good on getting the dairy in, but you're trying to really look after bone health and things like that, that's a great option for it. They do often have vitamin D. So they can be handy. Like, we all need to be taking vitamin D. Look at the lovely summer weather we're getting. So it's like, let's just stop thinking about the sun for vitamin D and just take the supplement.
Okay. Now, milk alternatives then. So the plant-based milk. Hmm. Again, I love watching people when I do the food shop. I'm fascinated by them. And you just see more and more people going. And now where there might have been one almond milk on the shelf, there's probably 10 different.
Versions.
There's oat, there's rice, there's almond, there's different versions of almond. Chat me through the best alternatives then. If you're not going to have dairy,
if you're not
going to
take dairy, or if you're dairy allergic, because that's, you know, it was a game changer as a dietitian when, you know, we'd had dairy allergic kids who'd nothing and suddenly they had soy milk to put on their cornflakes and, you know, it was great. So soy is probably the best one because it's higher in protein. But really across the board, what you're looking at is make sure they're fortified, because lots of people think that because it's milk, that it has all the nutrition of dairy, and most of the time it doesn't. Now, in fairness, the companies who are producing them, they are adding more and more things to it. So a lot of them are adding the iodine, a lot of them are adding the vitamin B12, which is also really important. They're adding the calcium. So, you know, check your labels if you're going to use them. Soya has more protein, so that's going to be a better option compared to things like your oat milk and your rice milk, from just a nutrition point of view.
Better for adults, not so much for children.
Not so much for children. You know, for adults, really, the soya is good. For kids, the soya is good. But when we look at, you know, even when you're getting all of that nutrition, you know, a couple of studies there would look at children with, say, milk allergies, and they're looking at the ones who are on, say, soy milk, for example. There was one study and they were looking, comparing to the ones who were on dairy, and the soy milk kids were about 2 inches shorter with lower bone density, even though they were kind of matched up in terms of calcium. So we know that from bone point of view, dairy is particularly good over other things. I mean, there's ways and ways around it, and obviously people with milk allergies cope. But I kind of go, I suppose for me, I hate to see people skipping dairy for no reason, or just because it's the latest trend.
And it is very trendy.
It's very trendy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these products, always having alternatives for people are brilliant. And certainly lots of people want to have a fully plant-based diet, and that's fine. People are allergic to dairy, and that's fine too. But the idea of you just needing to go along to do it, there's no health reason to do it. People, there's, as you said, you were talking about myths with dairy. We talk about not being able to digest it. The other one, that it's full of hormones. And certainly in the production of dairy in certain countries in the world, they can put hormones into the cattle to produce more milk and so on. It's illegal to do it in Europe. We're not allowed to do it in Europe. So we don't have those hormones in the dairy. And that's why you don't see American milk and meat for sale in Europe, because you're not actually allowed to bring it in because of the hormones. We also don't have the antibiotics, that blanket antibiotic idea, not allowed in Europe either. So a lot of people don't know about the food legislation. So sometimes people might be getting information about foods from, say, American websites, but it doesn't necessarily translate across because food rules are different between countries as well. So I think a lot of people have ideas about milk that are not accurate. I mean, the other big one I see is the idea that it causes cancer, whereas when we have loads of studies showing that not only does dairy not cause cancer, it actually reduces your risk of colon cancer in particular, that people who drink milk and eat yogurt get less colon cancer than people who avoid it. And there's no studies that are showing increases in cancer with it. There's one looking at high levels of calcium and prostate cancer, but it's not directly linked to dairy. And it's one of those, do we see a link? Do we not see a link? Okay. Is it there? Is it not? It would nowhere be the point where you'd be saying to anybody or to guys to say, don't drink milk. But the levels are enormous. Like you're looking at maybe 4,000 milligrams of calcium a day, which is, you know, 5 litres of milk.
Wow. You know.
Yep. So it's one of those things. It's the one that you might see. But in terms of breast cancer, there's no link with dairy and breast cancer. And that's one I hear all the time. But can I just say that there is none of the studies are showing links with that. If you're interested in dairy and cancer, the EPIC study, the European Prospective Investigation into Cancer, is definitely worth having a look at.
And chat to me about the growing trend around organic local milk.
Yeah.
I have a neighbour who's just started, he's just about to launch his new business, which is this big trailer thing that's going to go around Cork.
Yep.
And you buy the bottle and you go to the trailer thing and you basically fill it up
Great.
Every time you go.
Yeah.
Are they any healthier than the mainstream?
Not that we've ever seen. And that goes across the board for whether it's organic fruit or I'm going to get shot by anybody who's organic.
You're saying it, not mine.
I am saying it. But we don't see, there's no higher levels of vitamins and things like that with it. So it's definitely a personal choice. Local is great if you can get it because we're looking at transport. And, you know, when people are talking about, you know, food miles and things like that, I was at a very interesting conference recently and they were saying, well, actually, some of the biggest food miles is the drive to the supermarket. You know, so what are we driving around to get our food with it? So, yes, anything local.
Okay, so buy local, but from a health perspective,
the organic, it's not something I would never buy any organic stuff. Not that I wouldn't buy it, I just wouldn't think of doing it as such.
So. Slimline milk versus full fat?
Here's a fun one. So your slimline milk has more calcium than your full fat.
Go on.
Oh yeah, everyone thinks it's the other way around. So if you were going to do it, the slimline has the most, low fat has the second, and then full fat has the least. However, the differences are so tiny, it doesn't actually matter.
Oh, okay.
So don't worry. Because lots of people think, oh, well, I need to look after my calcium, I better go back on the full fat. And like, no.
And is the fat content, is it worth reducing to the low fat or the slimline?
It depends because, you know, when we talk about full fat milk, we're talking about milk that's about 3.5% fat, which is not high.
It's quite
so
low.
Your low fat, depending on the brand, anything from 1 gram per 100 grams to maybe 1.8 grams per 100 grams, your slim milk's pretty much no fat in it at all.
Yeah. So it's very watery by comparison.
Yeah, if you like it. Some people love it. I have a friend who adores it. But so what you're actually, when would you use low fat? So if you do have high cholesterol, because we'll talk about dairy and cholesterol. So if you do have high cholesterol, we would recommend a low fat milk. Low-fat yogurt, not necessarily skim, not necessarily 0% fat. So just to bring it down, because whether we like it or not, saturated fat, and I wish it didn't, but it does put up cholesterol, not in everybody, but most people. So the big thing we would say, particularly if you're drinking a good bit of milk, to go on to the low fat. Now, if you're someone who puts 3 drops of milk in your tea, it honestly doesn't matter. Drink whatever milk you like. It's not going to make a difference. But, you know, if you're someone, my husband drinks a lot of milk, so definitely onto low fat for that. But I think a lot of confusion about dairy when it comes to cholesterol. And so with cholesterol, saturated fat is what you're watching here, and it's in the butter and the cream. So milk and yogurt really don't put up cholesterol. I would say just nudge onto the low fat if you have high cholesterol.
Yeah.
Cheese is kind of a funny one because cheese is high in saturated fat, but study after study after study shows that cheese does not cause heart disease.
Wow.
And the reason for that seems to be the calcium in it is quite protective. So if someone does have high cholesterol, cheese is the last thing I ever look at. I'd be looking at the biscuits and the cakes.
Do you realise people listening in today? They're going to go home to the dinner table. I heard.
Well, can I just say here, don't go out and 5 pounds of cheese and think nothing is going to happen, right? But it's that thing of so many other things to look at. You're looking at, you know, your biscuits and your sweets and your yes, cakes, and you're looking at your fat on your meat and all those nice things, and your patty and your salami and your sausages and all of those. And I always say take those out or reduce them. Obviously, don't take them out altogether, but reduce them. Don't touch the cheese, because from a calcium point of view, protein point of view, it's such an important food that I, you know, something's that nutritious, leave it alone.
Is there a difference between the harder cheese and the softer cheese?
Yeah. So the general rule for cheese is the harder the cheese, the higher the calcium.
Yes.
So your cheddar cheese will have about double the calcium of soft cheese. However, the serving that we talk about, and we talk about 3 servings of dairy a day for adults and 5 for teenagers, it's about the size of your 2 thumbs. And I don't know anyone who eats that small an amount of cheese when they eat cheese. So whether you're eating cottage cheese or cheddar cheese, you're generally covered.
Okay. And on the servings thing, so chat me through some other examples of, so you're saying 3 for adults, 5 for teenagers.
Yeah.
Throw a batch of examples out.
So children, you're looking at about 3 servings up to about the age of 9. And 9 is where girls start to take their big jump in height, 9, 10, 11. So we want them having loads of calcium in there. The boys can start there too. So what is coming into teenagers, you know, when you see them and they're nearly like, one of my kids comes down, I think he's about an inch taller every morning. he's well, I think I have to admit he's taller than me at this stage. But just that huge growth. And you just see them going up. So you've got, if you can imagine, sounds a bit odd, nearly taking a slice out of them across the way, the amount of bone and calcium that's gone into each bit of growth with that. So they really need to be packing in the protein, they need to be packing in the dairy. So we know that their calcium demands just go up. So from about 9 or 10 to about 18, they need to be 5 a day with the dairy to do that. So one is a glass of milk. So if you drink
so
a glass
portion
of milk at your dinner, that's
and
one.
It's a normal kind of
normal
glass.
Just 200 odd mils. But if you put milk over your breakfast cereal, that's another
that's
one.
The,
if, you know, and if they're a little bit older and they're having a coffee, your latte, your cappuccino, that's got a load of milk in it as well. So they're brilliant. Yogurt then, so what we call a pot, you know, the standard pot of yogurt, about 120 grams. And honest to God, please don't worry about the bit of sugar in yogurt. My heart breaks when I see parents going, well, I've taken the kids off the yogurt because of the sugar, and the child is standing there eating a chocolate digestive, and you're just like, you know, 37% of children in Ireland do not hit calcium targets. Please, please give them the yogurt. Like, if you're worried about sugar in yogurts, if you steer clear of the caramel toffee crisp crunch chocolate sauce yogurt with the sprinkles on top, you will be grand.
Yeah,
you know?
There's loads of really good Irish brands out
there's
there.
There's loads of really good, just fabulous. I mean, nobody does dairy like Ireland and, you know, it is gorgeous. So, you know, the yogurts are out there, you know, the fruit yogurt is fine. We don't, like, the worst fruit yogurt has about 1 teaspoon of added sugar, and you're allowed, the strictest guidelines in the world let you have 7 teaspoons a day. So let them have the yogurt, because they're calcium, they're iodine, they're B12, they're protein. It's just a gorgeous package of nutrition for them.
We could chat food all day long. We always seem to come in. I'm like, this is too short. But it's great to have you in, because you're just full of content. If people want to follow you on Instagram, I know you do a lot of work there.
Remind me. So at Sarah Kyo RD on Instagram. So yeah, and anything about nutrition there.
Amazing. It's been great to catch up, and thank you for all the advice. Much appreciated. Folks, that is it for another episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. We really hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did, don't forget to rate and review. As ever, we're available on email, realhealth@independent.ie, or at Carl Henry PT on Instagram. You can catch up there as well. We'll see you next week for more Real Health. Slán go fóill.